to message time today. Because we want to make sure we have some time to share afterwards with the family and get to know folks. We're in the book of James, right? We've been talking about our series called A Faith That Works, right? James chapter 4. I think we're in, I'm not sure the verse number. I didn't put it down in my notes. But it is, I think, 9 or 10 of chapter 4. So we've been talking about a series of faith that works. Not only does it work well, it does what it's supposed to do, like a car that starts on a cold morning, but it also works. It does things. That's what real faith is like. It actually works, and it does things. And that's kind of I'm a simple guy. I try not to get too lofty and deep, because we need to take this and apply it to everyday life, don't we? Yeah. Well, and today we're talking about judging and love. And how does that actually work? Because in today's day and age, we think, you know, the mindset is you should never judge anybody or anything, right? It's judging is looked down upon as a bad thing in society and in relationships. But is it? Is it? Is it possible to do both and make it work? When do you judge? It's kind of seen, we're talking about parents here today. We see it in the responsibility that we have as parents, don't we? There's this incredible picture of love that we see in the responsibility of parents. There's this incredible picture that talks about a love that's, and this is what it is when you have children. It's selfless. It's self-sacrificing when we have kids, isn't it? You give, and then what do? You give some more, right? And you give some more. Parenting you have a brand new baby, and what do? They take, take, take. That's all they can do. Our whole lives are geared towards loving them, feeding them, taking care of them. And we continue that role in different ways as children get older. This is a picture of what this love is that we're supposed to be doing. James, when he's talking about a law or judging in this book, he's referring back to previous chapters, which we studied way back in probably October, November, where James is talking about if you are fulfilling the royal law according to Scripture, you shall, what, love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you're doing well. You're fulfilling the royal law that is in Scripture. But how many know that love requires discernment and judgment? How do I love this person? This person that I'm loving is in this situation. What do I do? How do I minister to them? How do I care for them? And how many know there's a right and a wrong way to judge and discern? Right? There is. Today we'll have three simple things to think about as we figure out how do we judge and love. How do we make that work? Let's stand together as we read our verse of Scripture that we'll be spending time in today. Let's read together. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? My brethren, If anyone among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Lord, thank you for just bringing clarity from your word to our lives. May this be something we take into our homes, our marriages, our workplaces, our communities, into the social conversations of life. Teach us, Lord God, how to love and to judge rightly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated. So James starts with, "Do not speak against one another, brethren." I'm using the New American Standard version on this because I really felt like it had a better word usage. The NIV said, "Do not slander one another," and which is a similar way of speaking against somebody, but when this verse uses "speak against," it uses it like three different times. It's the same word. It should be used in the same way in the same context. And I felt like this translation had a clearer description of that. Don't speak against one another. That word "speak against" is kalaleo. To speak evil of, to rail at, or to slander. How does that look? Did you ever work with somebody or spend time with somebody who just loves to gossip? When somebody does something wrong or something goes wrong in somebody else's life, guess what they love to do? Did you hear what happened to so-and-so? Oh, they seem to get this joy out of talking about stuff. Those are sometimes the drama kings and queens. Have you ever been around drama queens and kings? Yeah, it's they just find joy in talking about, those people or that person or him or her. Sometimes they have, it comes through in a critical attitude, the speaking against, where it's somebody that seems to always manage to find what's wrong. They're always picking out this and that, or picking on something or somebody, or another way they do this, they kind of cover it up with an altruistic good intention. They're always fixing people or fixing things, when fixing is just another reason to be able to point out everybody else's problems, right? And that's what James is warning against. Don't speak against one another, brothers and sisters. You know how you find out when somebody has this negative tendency or critical or a gossip tendency to speak against? It's whether or not they are usually speaking in love with people and in good relationship, and sometimes, they're sarcastic. We all tease each other sarcastically, don't we? We jab and tease about this, that, or the other thing, and that's just part of relationships. Am I always picking? Am I always teasing? Am I always pointing out the wrong? And every now and again I'll say something loving? Or am I usually loving and supportive and encouraging, and every now and again I'll just get a jab for a joke? That's a way we kind of find out where we are on the scale, or where somebody is on the scale. It should be something that is used for fun, but not a regular conversation, because that kind of, it helps us to see, maybe I am one of those that speaks often against some people. Wonderful saying from Mother Teresa: if you judge people, you have no time to love them. Isn't that interesting? If you judge people, you have no time to love them, because what are you doing? You're looking at what they're doing. The flip side, right? If you love people, they have no time to judge them, right? Or maybe there is a time to judge them, which we'll learn a little bit about. But love is what we're supposed to be doing here. We have a choice, right? We love the person, or we're speaking against them. Where are we? Where are we? You know what teaches children the most? Thinking about families. Love and discipline. Love and discipline. If all they get is discipline and no love, rules without relationship leads to what? Rebellion, a lot of times. It's all rules. Without love, you're not going to get a good result. But if we are bringing rules, discipline, with love, that's how children thrive and grow. That's how relationships thrive and grow. And we do that through what Scripture tells us are the one another's. New Testament is loaded with all the one another's that we're supposed to do. So love with your words. Don't speak against. Love with your words. Encourage people. And we're talking about judging. When do we tend to find ourselves in a moment where I tend to have a temptation to judge somebody? When is that usually? What's going on? Huh? Sometimes when you first meet somebody, right? Maybe they or you are going through something in your life. You know, they did this, right? Or I heard they said that. Or there's usually because there's some sort of a conflict or tension, whether we're just meeting them or there's a tension or something that happened that causes a little bit of a tension. And now we have to decide out, what am I going to do in the midst of this tension? Love with your words. Don't speak against. Love with your words. Encourage the other person. Even if they've done something or are doing something that you don't necessarily like, encourage them. Build them up. These are the one another's. You'll find them in Scripture. Build one another up. Exhort one another. Challenge them to great things. Encourage them. Love with your words. How many people know that words can do what? They can do good things. Oh, they can cut, and words can stay with somebody's heart and mind for days and weeks and years. I mean, have you ever experienced that where you see something, somebody that you haven't seen in a long time, and sometimes what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What they said to you the last time you saw them. All of a sudden, but they can do the opposite thing. Words can be so powerful to build people up and to help them to be encouraged, to help them to think more of themselves than maybe they think of themselves. Words can be powerful. Does love like that make you uncomfortable? To actually be a positive person, a positive encourager? Let me encourage you. Stretch yourself. Stretch yourself. You will be surprised when you begin to stretch yourself in love and start to use words like that, how you can impact people's lives. Stretch yourselves. Love them by valuing them. How do you value somebody? You spend what? Time. Let them know that you're important by spending time with them. Spend energies. Do things with them, for them. Just love them. Do things that they don't even know you're doing. Pray for them. Prayer is powerful, amen? It truly is. Pray for them. Teach them. Take time to pour things into them. Maybe that's something you can do for somebody that's younger than you. Be a mentor to people. You can do this for these things for people that are older than you. Bear one another's burdens. somebody's going through a tough time, come alongside them and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm thinking about you and praying for you. Anything you need, let me know. Serve one another. Those are ways that you value somebody. When you do those things, people think, wow, that person cares. You couple that together with words, it's powerful, powerful stuff. Well, James goes on to say, he who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. Well, what does that mean? That one could be a little bit confusing. And he goes on, but if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of the law. That word judge literally means to decide what's right and wrong. So if you're judging your brother, you're spending your time looking at him saying, I'm judging, I'm figuring out what you're doing is right or wrong. And I'm looking at the word and saying, is this right, or is he doing this one, or is he not doing that law? And you're judging the person, you're judging the law, right? You're spending your time judging. And what happens if we judge? What do we not have time for? We don't have time to love, right? If you're judging and deciding here's what happens sometimes when we find ourselves leaning towards judgmentalism, we pick and choose. You ever find that? People that are really critical and judgmental, they pick and choose the things that they're going to hammer somebody on, but they don't necessarily pick and choose what they're going to hammer themselves on so much, right? It's always kind of picking about what everybody else is doing or not doing. That's what I mean by you're judging what's right and wrong about the person's life and what's right or wrong about the law. Which ones are they doing? Which ones are they focusing on? And which ones are they obeying? How do you love somebody when all you're doing is trying to figure out what are they doing right or wrong? You can't. A lot of wisdom in Mother Teresa's words, isn't there? Lots of wisdom. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a pastor during World War II. He was not a part of the German church that went along with the Third Reich and went along with the Nazis in exterminating so many of the Jewish people. He stood firm on the Word of God and determined he was not going to go along with that. He was part of the confessing church during World War II. And his thought was that judging others makes us blind, whereas love is illuminating. By judging others, we blind ourselves to our own evil and to the grace which others are just as entitled to as we are. Humility. Humble yourself rather than put yourself above them. When you're judging the law, you're judging the person, you're putting yourself above them, right? They need grace just as much as we do, and we need grace just as much as they do. Humility is a coming alongside the person, not standing above them, not putting yourself below them. It's, I need God's goodness as much as the next person does. We went to, Brother Bill and I are taking a preaching class together. And one of the things that Pastor Phil said, has his church do, is tells them all, we all need to recognize that we all need grace because guess what? We've all got issues, right? So he says, and we did this in class, didn't we? Let's all just say it and acknowledge it today. On the count of three, we'll say, I have issues. On the count of three. Everybody ready to acknowledge that? One, two, three. I have issues. I don't think you said that with a lot of conviction. One, two, three. I have issues. Well, didn't that feel good? It felt good when we did it in class. It just puts me, I'm humbling myself. Now, just as important, turn to the person next to you and tell them, you have issues too. Ready? Go ahead. Tell them. Now, chances are you turn to somebody you were comfortable with. So now turn to somebody else and tell them that they have issues too. Doesn't that feel good? It really does. I'll tell Pastor Phil we did this. He'll be thrilled. We really all, I gotta rein this in. We really all need God's undeserved love because we have all got issues. It's just, we are. When we humble ourselves, as Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, we recognize that the other person is entitled to grace just as much as I am. I'm in need of grace just as much as they are. And that, wasn't that, that humbling of ourselves helps us then to have concern for the other person. I love this picture. You know what this is a picture of? One of Jesus' parables. This is one of Jesus' parables. And he said, you know, don't go trying to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye when you've got a 2x4 stuck in your own eye. He said, first, go and take the plank out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to what? To take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Right? It's interesting how often we go through life like the person with the plank sticking out of his eye, right? Well, when we take the plank out, when we humble ourselves and say, what? I have issues, right? And we try to deal with our issues, guess what we're then able to do to our neighbor and our friend? We are able to be concerned, not for what they are doing or not doing right or wrong. I begin to have concern for you, the person. What, not what I think you're doing or not doing, it's I'm concerned about your need. Humility allows us not to get above, but to get closer to the person, to see the person, to see what's going on. What's, you know what, that old adage, you don't know until you walked a mile in someone's shoes, right? Well, we can stand and say, well, I can't believe they did or said that, you know, and we start getting into that speaking against someone, and we really need to just stop, humble ourselves. Lord, there's a plank in my eye, Lord, let me get it out. And what's happening with this person? Maybe they're acting like they're acting because of something that's going on. Maybe I should care about what's causing that speck to keep going in that person's eye. And care about the person. Care about the pain. Humble ourselves rather than put ourselves above somebody. That's how love and judgment begins to work together, right? Lastly, help them or judge them. This is a choice that we can put ourselves in. We can help them with the things that are going on in their lives, help them with their faults, help them with their troubles, or just point them out. It's a difference, isn't there? I jumped into verse chapter 5 because I thought of this book because I thought it was very pertinent to where we were at, even though it's the next chapter. Chapter 5, verse 19 says, my brethren, if there are any among you strays from the truth. What does that mean? Somebody has what? Yeah. They've strayed from God's word. They've sinned. They've walked out of God's will. They've walked out of the good plans and the blessings that God wants for their lives. So someone has strayed from the truth. And one, what? And one turns him back. What does that mean? Restores them. Good. What? Yeah, restores. That's a great word because it's taking the where they were once but are not anymore and bringing them back. How do you do that with restore furniture, right? A piece of furniture has been all beat up from years and years of abuse of life. And you take it and you lovingly sand it down, and you put new stain and new varnish on it, and it looks what? Beautiful. Beautiful piece of furniture, beautiful piece of wood again. If anyone gets beat up by life and strays from God, and someone turns him back to God, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover over a multitude of sins. Isn't that a beautiful picture? But remember, parenting and love requires what? Discernment. Judgment. What's going on in this person's life? How did they stray? How did this happen? Is this really, are they out of God's will or not? If they are, how can I help them to come back? There's a lot of judgment and discerning that is needed there, isn't there? Just like if your kid starts wandering, kid starts lying. He's just lying about stuff. He's not doing his homework and he keeps lying to me about it. He tells me he's done it and he hasn't. Why? What's going on with my child? You begin to say, start trying to discern what's going on. You don't just, okay, punishment, right? Because love without, discipline without love leads to rebellion. But discipline and love restores. But it requires discernment and judgment. So first, see the need. Someone has strayed. They're not walking with God. They're walking through trials. They're walking through problems in their lives. Let the Word of God help you. Let the Holy Spirit help you to see what's going on. Not, you're doing this, you're not doing this, you're sinning, you're this or that. It's, I'm seeing this, just to use our child's, my son is lying about homework example. Hey, you know, Johnny, I know you said you did your homework. You told me that 3 times this week, but the teacher told me you haven't turned any of it in. What's going on? Tell me, what's happening? Is there something that you're having trouble with? Is something bothering you? What would make you break my trust in you, right? I'm concerned about you. Is the path, not you did wrong, so I'm going to punish you. Big difference. Isn't it a huge difference? See the need in love, and then be love that acts. Right? Help them with judgment, with discernment, seeing that need, loving them enough to ask and talk to them about it, and loving them enough to do something about it. How many know that confronting people is fun? How many people love confrontation? Sickos. It's uncomfortable. Nobody really ever gets good at it. It's something, but love does it, doesn't it? Love confronts. Love is willing to interact with somebody. Love is willing to pray for that person before you have the conversation so that the Holy Spirit prepares that conversation. It takes effort. Love is willing to say, I'm concerned about where you're going and what God wants for you, because I know God wants blessing for you. Love is willing to share Scripture. Oh, with the wisdom of the Spirit of God, not arrogantly. Again, what's our second one? It's humble ourselves. Don't put yourself above somebody. We're to love and judge them with humility. Help them by seeing the need and having a love that acts. And those are the 3 things. Judging the love. How does that actually work? Love them. Humble yourself. Help them. And I know in today's world, again, you can't judge people. You can't, you know, everybody gets to make their own decisions on what they think is right or wrong. As believers, we have to come to that place of saying, you know what? There are things that God says is right and wrong that the world says the opposite of. And we have to be people who love enough to say something. That's not easy. But if we truly love people, we are willing to help them and point them to the God who loves them more than anything. So, love them with your words, with value. Humble yourself. Let the grace that God has given you be extended to them. Humble yourself in such a way you can take the plank out of your own eye and actually be concerned about what's going on in their lives. And then, step out. Get out there. Help them. Do something. See their need and act. Let the Holy Spirit guide and direct you. These are things we can apply in all kinds of relationships, families, parenting, relationships outside of the home, marriages, work relationships, lots of things. Maybe someone has come to your mind that needs you to love them with discernment and judgment. Let's just take a minute. I want to just be quiet for a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If He brings someone to your mind, ask Him to help you. Ask Him to help you to love that person with judgment and discernment. And let Him lead you. I'm just going to give you a moment to be quiet with Him. Thank you, Lord, for just putting different ones in different people's hearts and minds. Thank you for speaking to each one of us here. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you're going to help us to be a person who loves, who humbles and helps. And we'll thank you, Lord, for that. Would you bless our time as we just gather around the table and fellowship and get to know some new friends and family members, and just thank you for the food that was prepared. Thank you for Lucy Grace. Thank you for Jeremy and Jen, and thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon that home and upon our home here. All this we're grateful for in the strong and mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have some treats, some coffee, and punch out there, and get to know some new people. We'll have a nice time to share together around the table. God bless you.